Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 423 Soccer Pod, the podcast that CFC built. This is Jim, aka Chad Aguner, and it's just like the old days. Right now, it's just me and Todd. So, great footballer. How are you doing tonight?
Man, just like tag team, we're back again.
Yep, just us chickens. So you cannot expect a whole lot out of this podcast because the adults are not here to keep us.
Let's be honest. I mean, the expectation wasn't high to begin with, but we can move forward.
Right. So it's been a couple of weeks, Todd, since we talked. I've been on two little road trips. I don't know. Have you? I know you've traveled a little bit, but I don't know if you've traveled recently. You've gone to the beach and other places, right?
No, not yet this summer. I missed you guys on. It's been longer for me because the last podcast that I missed out on that we did because I was ailing. I had the Rona. Yeah. I made it 2.5 years and then there I was testing positive with a swab at my nose.
And then another night you had to work late, right? You missed out because you had to.
You were
saving. So you were either sick or saving lives. So those are both, I think those are both. Okay, excuse. We'll excuse those two absences.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome. I've been a couple little road trips. My son and I went to Chicago for Father's Day, and the Braves promptly lost 2 of 3 to one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. So that was great. But my first games at Wrigley. Friday. I don't know if you've ever been to Chicago, Todd, or to Wrigley Field. You can see
in Chicago, never Wrigley.
Yeah, so from the seats, from our seats, you can see the lake. And the first game was like 85 degrees. We were in the shade. There was a pretty stiff breeze, so it was pretty nice. That was the Friday night, the Friday afternoon game. The Saturday afternoon game, however, was like 65 degrees with a 20 mile an hour wind. It felt like in the low 50s, upper 40s. It was June. I was like, I don't understand. My teeth were chattering and we lost, but it was fun to go to Chicago. We ate well, saw baseball in a historic place and then came home. And then last weekend we went to Savannah, saw more baseball. It wasn't banana ball, but it was the Savannah Bananas. And I've got to say, I hope, you know, I kind of hope that CFC folks, take a trip down there and attend a game and just kind of see the spectacle that is the Savannah Bananas. I told you before we started recording, literally after every pitch, there was something, even if it was just music being played, they have a band, a marching band that goes through the crowd. They have these 60 or 70 year old women who dance called the, Banana Nanas. Yeah, they've got a bunch of guys that don't need to be wearing what they're wearing, called the Dad Bod Cheer Squad, and just after every.
Do you think it works because it's amateur baseball? Do you think that works at a professional level?
I think it's just minor league baseball on steroids. I mean, really, it's about everything they do, you would hear at a minor league game. It's just that they do it all the time. Like it's literally, it doesn't stop. Like the ball is either in play and you're watching baseball, or there's entertainment going on somewhere else in the stands. I mean, it just doesn't stop. Now, the thing that makes it different from like soccer is that there are constant stoppages. Like between every pitch, there's a stop. Between every batter, there's a stop. After three outs, there's a stop. After every inning, there's a stop, right? So there are moments that do not exist in a soccer match because the soccer match is continuously going on. So, I mean, but it's just the, like from the moment you get there all the way through the game, it's very clear that everything is targeted towards the fan. And that's the attitude I'm thinking, like it's just the fan experience is clearly the thing that they are focusing on. Again, it's not professional ball. I don't expect professional players to engage in some of the silliness maybe that these college players did. I think it takes a special player to play for the Savannah Bananas. I think you got to be good, but you got to be ready to not take yourself very seriously. In some ways not take the game seriously. So that's, that could be a problem for a pro team, but there's a lot there in terms of how they do what they do.
Anytime that you, I think you're right. It's good for all kinds of people to go there and check it out, especially if you're running any type of sports organization. Because I think I've heard it said that, there's a lot to be taken away from that. Even in Major League Baseball, some things that they're doing right, maybe not setting a bat on fire, before the pitch. But at the same time, it's like there's probably things that I think you said, like a lot of the concessions are all you can eat. That sounds great. And there, when you go down to Mercedes to an Atlanta United game or a Falcons game or something, they have that fan first pricing,
right,
which is really attractive. And I think me and my dad went, we both got, refillable sodas, unlimited refills on those, a pretzel, and we both got a hamburger. And I think it was like $12. So, just kind of ridiculous on the prices. But, they've done studies that shows that, like, if things are cheap, people buy more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've never understood the idea of, like, charging an exorbitant amount at a stadium because people just – they don't eat while they're there.
It's really simple. They're doing something right because they've sold out, like, 110 matches – or back – listen to me, Matt – 110 games, maybe more. And they play, and it's not only that they're entertaining, they actually play good baseball for their level. I mean, they're double digit games up in their conference or in their league. So, it was entertaining there. They do all kinds of stuff. There is absolutely no advertising on the outfield or anywhere else. Like you can't do that in a pro environment, but, it was a really neat experience. From multiple levels. Heather found the tickets where we actually, it was this guy who has sat in the same seats for about 40 years and has literally the seat behind home plate, first row.
That's bananas.
I mean, it was nice. It was nice. I would, if you're going to Savannah for a weekend and you can catch you're going to have to get an aftermarket ticket, but if you can get a ticket, go. You won't regret it if you like baseball. But even if you don't like baseball, you won't regret it because there's just something going on all the time. My favorite thing, and this is something that we can do at halftime, is what they called a fish out of water. And they had four guys go down and they were lay on their stomach with their hands behind their back, and then they had this baby pool. And they had to get from where they were laying to the pool without using their hands. And then the first guy that jumped into the pool, won a prize. It was freaking hilarious. I mean, of course they did the dizzy bat race. That was fine. They did a bunch of stuff like that, but the fish out of water was, I'm ready to see that. And I'm ready to see Jeremy in a blue derby cap and a blue, all blue suit down on the field being the MC for the entire game. I'm ready for that too. So,
well, I think that's a good transition actually into some CFC news. We heard over the past couple of weeks that we are getting a new director of Finley Stadium.
That's right. Yeah.
So, do you remember the gentleman's name?
Of course not. Yeah. That's
I think his first, we're going to look it up. And while you're looking it up, I'm going to chat about it. So this gentleman apparently is a Chattanooga native. He comes to us from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where we were just talking about some of the fan first pricing they have there. And it'll be really interesting to see if there's any big changes. And he's actually been at Finley before. I was talking to Galen and Dana at the home women's game last Friday night, and I was chatting with them, and they were kind of giving me some details about him and about how he had worked at Finley before, and there was a good relationship at that time. Hopefully, there's good things coming.
Yeah, it's Brian Wright is the young man's
Brian
name.
Brian Wright.
Well, I say young man.
Is he a UTC grad? I think he is.
I think so. Yeah, if I remember correctly.
I would think he'd be on top of that.
I don't know all the students that have gone that have made it through the campus, but
you got to have goals.
Yeah, I need to have goals. So yeah, he is, and we've talked with Shelley has mentioned that she's going to reach out to him. We may have him on to talk a little bit about kind of his vision for the stadium and what, if any, changes that he might see and what his experience, you know, at down at Mercedes-Benz has taught him about running a facility and those types of things. So,
oh yeah. I mean, because the relationship between the club and the stadium is key to the success of both. So
yep.
This could be a really big shift one way or the other. So I'd love to hear what he has to say about that relationship. And then especially given the news that came out today, finalizing the new Lookout Stadium at the Foundry site, you know, that's kind of lit up Twitter today. And, you know, that's of interest to CFC because we do play at Finley, and there are baseball stadiums out there that are also designed to have soccer. And so that kind of kicked off some ideas rolling on Twitter. And so yeah, there. And then we know UTC is in the past has been shopping around for maybe the idea of moving to another stadium out of Finley and something. So there's so many moving parts to this, and it'll be interesting to see what Finley does to keep its tenants happy and in place versus seeking out somewhere else. Because, you know, there has to be some give when you basically find out you're not going to be in charge of multiple revenue streams from parking to concessions. You know, that's a big chunk of change. So how do you keep your tenant? How do you keep your tenant happy and in place and not finding their own residence? So that'd be interesting. I'd love to have him on the podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting time over the next couple of years while that project is under development and what it means for CFC and if anything. And Jeremy's got a lot on his plate. Jeremy and the board have a lot to think about and kind of plan for the future of the club. It's an exciting time. Renderings are always phenomenal, but you know, just the renderings that floated around about the whole complex, that was a really cool looking baseball field, to be honest. I mean,
it was, and it looked like they were keeping the facade or part of the structure from the mm-hmm. Foundry site, which is crazy if they pull that off.
Yeah, I think it could be really cool looking and, you know, pay tribute to the history of the community, but also bring something new. So,
I would also like to point out though, that roofs, you know, anything that got like a overhanging roof is far more useful in soccer than in baseball, because when it rains in baseball, you stop the game.
We'll see. It's going to be fun to watch, but yeah, hey, we've had some games since we have podcasted, and it's been a couple of weeks since we put out an episode.
Yep.
We've had a couple of women's games and a couple of men's games. Where do you want to start? You want to start with the women or the men?
Let's start with the women's.
Okay. So I think the last time we talked, we had discussed maybe I can't remember if we actually talked about the Tennessee Forest match, the one that was it, that the home 3-0 game. But since then, you know, we also hosted Nashville. Nashville's clearly the best team in the league, I think, and they showed it that night, blanked CFC 6-0. Then the women traveled up to Knoxville and lost maybe a heartbreaker is maybe too much, but they played really well. It was 0-0 late into the game, and I think Knoxville scored in the 89th or 90th minute, something like that. And
yeah. From the timing of the score, it's definitely a heartbreaker to hold a team. Look like you're going to get a point and to hold a team scoreless for that long and give it up with, you know, 3 minutes to go. But
Yeah,
you know, that's that how it been, goes.
That would have been a really important point to get. But you know, outside of maybe the second half of the Tennessee Forest game and the Nashville game, I had seen consistent improvement in the team from that first match all the way through the 2-1 loss to Alabama FC. Again, I still think the second half of that Alabama game was some of the best that we've played, and then we come back and kind of took a step backwards a little bit with the Tennessee Forest game, and then Nashville is Nashville. So I think from the beginning to at least the last Tennessee Forest game, there has been some improvement, but it's been a challenging season for the women. And I don't know, you know, there's really no reason to rehash the individual matches, but just overall, you know, what's your take so far going into the last game this Saturday? Unfortunately, this is one of those times when the men and the women play this is the only time this season where the men and the women play on the same day, and it's not in Findlay. So the women are on the road at North Alabama when the men have a home game. So going into that last match, what's your take on the season, Todd?
This may successful.
Yeah.
This is a successful season. Regardless of where we are in the standings and what the record is, the fact that we had a team out there, we can tell by the way they play. I mean, I was watching, I was at the Nashville game last Friday night, and I remember seeing some of the players out there, some of the runs they made, like to recover on defense, and the way they were playing and the effort that they were giving. I was like, you know what? This is a Chattanooga FC side. This is filled with players that are willing to leave it all out on the field, regardless of the score, regardless of how things are going. The effort is still there, even late in the game. And so, you know, the crowds that we've had have been really good. I mean, I think I set an unreasonable expectation early in the year. I think I was like, you know, what do we had like average 1,000 a game? You know, that was way over the top, obviously. But I think we are between 500 and 1,000 average.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you look, I think we're, I don't know, probably right in the middle, probably around 750, if I had to guess. Yeah. So, I mean, that's outstanding to have that kind of support. And the Chattahooligans have supported them. So overall, I feel like the season is a success. I mean, we saw definitely a glimpse of what's to come. You know, whether you're talking about, you know, some of the play we've seen, we did get a win. And gosh, God willing, this coming weekend, we can three more points, or at least a point. So, I mean, that was a big deal, right? Just getting that first win.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think overall, I mean, I think I said at the beginning, especially after that first game, the success of the win was the fact that there was a team on the field, and that's the first check that we fielded a team women that were out there fighting for the crest and fighting for the city, and you know, we got the first win, I've seen some improvement, and I think we've found some players that we're going to see again. I hope we go to over to Huntsville and get a win and solidify that fourth place spot. I think that qualifies us for a playoff. I think actually, Todd, you and I were talking, I think we could probably just go ahead and if the top four teams make it in, I believe that's the first step is like the conference tournament is the top four teams. I think we've pretty much guaranteed that. Even if we lose to North Alabama, woo! As long as we don't lose by 21 goals.
Well
20.
Hopefully we can keep that from happening.
Yeah. As long as we don't lose by 20 goals, I think we will have the tiebreaker. It will be even on points, but we have the goal difference in our advantage. So don't lose by 20 and we're in the playoffs, and hey, you made the playoffs in the first season. We've had a lot of fun doing it. The support has been great. The games have been great. and we, you know, we move on and we
and, and but too, the stories that have came out of the women's side as we've gotten to know some of these players are great too. You know, we just posted up retweeted an article today by our guy Daniel Mays down in Dalton at the Daily Citizen about Vanessa Lara and her story. For those of you who don't know, she's kind of full circle. She went to Northwest Whitfield. Amanda Moore was her assistant coach there. She went on to play for Coach Douglas at Point University and was a 5-year starter, actually, and then back to then got the invite to come try out and play, and she's played for CFC. So there's a local player right there that's that this team has made an impact on. Then you have Anna Silva that was at Color Creek down in Whitfield County. She's the first academy player to come all the way through and play for the women's team. And so I look at that, and then another one, Brianna Hurtado from Southeast Whitfield down in Dalton. You know, she's getting significant playing time, and you know, between her and Anna that graduated high school, you know, and there's actually a couple others that graduated high school just you know, last month, to be getting those kind of minutes is absolutely incredible. I think it's taken Coach Douglas a little bit of time to settle, to really know what he had and to figure out like who his best 11 were out there. You know, and there's been heavy substitutions, and I think, you know, getting such a late start definitely impacted all those things. But I'm already excited in anticipation for next year, to be honest.
And what I forgot, how quick this goes. Right. Okay. I mean, I was thinking we were headed to Savannah and somebody retweeted or said again, this is the, hey, you know, got to come out. This is the last women's home match. I'm like, what?
What?
Yeah. Already? And we're playing our last regular season game, you know, in 2 days. So yeah, I forgot that with the summer leagues, how quick they come and go. And, if any of the women's players listen, we really appreciate all that you've done. I know the results are not what you want. You know, they're not maybe what the club wants, but I don't know right now that it really matters. When I watch them on the field, when I watch them interact with the fans, you know, I couldn't be more proud of the team and the way they've gone through. Like you said, it was a late start that had to play into it. And I've been excited and already can't wait for next April and May.
Right. I just, you know, for me, it's just, I hope that we as fans, supporters, as a club have given them as much as they've given us. I think, you know, I hope the experience has been really positive for them. I mean, we remember like how it was for the men when they were amateurs. So I really hope that they're having a great experience, and I hope this is something that they're able to look back on. You know, even if they don't play for us next year, I hope this is something that they could look back on as an overwhelmingly positive experience and add something to their lives.
Yep. So switching gears over to the men's team, we've had a couple of games since we've talked. A 3-0 away win at Bay Cities, and then a 1-1 draw at LA Force. You know, Todd, what are your takeaways on those games?
I'm thrilled. I'm always on Twitter, you see these reactions, and I know some of it is just to get a reaction. And I believe it was maybe nice to say Nisa asking if, you know, we were worried that, you know, we drew away to LA Force.
And then drew, I guess the, this.
Yeah. Game, and then, and yeah. Drew then drew the against the Michigan Stars.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a bit over the top to say the least. I mean, if you look at what that was a West Coast trip that we took 4 out of 6 points, right? So we fly out west, we head to the Bay Area, then down to, you know, the Cleveland, Tennessee of LA. And, because, you know, it's not in L.A. But anyway, so we take 4 points out of a West Coast trip like that, and then we come back. We play 2 days later, or I guess they got back on Thursday, and they played on Saturday. So, and we know how Michigan plays. You saw the game. I mean, they're foul FC. We know it's coming to Matt, right? Fouling is winning. I guess fouling is drawing in this case, or maybe fouling is just getting a
result.
A result you don't necessarily deserve.
Yeah.
So I'm not disappointed at all, and I'm not worried.
Yeah, I think 4 out of 6 points on the away trip was – I mean, I was frustrated with the LA Force because I just do not think LA Force is very good at all.
Well, it's not, but that game was also – had a rain delay in it.
Yeah, it did. It did. But
so, I mean, that throws a wrench in everything.
Yeah, I know. But hey, we're CFC. We're ready for rain, right? So
yeah, sure.
So yeah, four out of six is fine. The performance in the LA Forest game was a little frustrating. And then I was really frustrated at the result of the Stars. I mean, I really wanted the team to make a clear point that we're the best team in the East. I still think we're the best team in the East. And I do realize that, I just wasn't paying attention or didn't take into account. Yeah, you're right. They played 2 days after a week long kind of road trip out to California, and that had to take a toll. We rotated a little bit, did have some chances to score. Probably should have finished one. Probably should have been 1-0. But I think we're where we want to be, right? We're 5 points clear at the top in the East with Syracuse coming in this Saturday. I think we have an opportunity to get 3 points there and just continue to stay at the top of the table. The only team right now around the in the league that looks like they're going to give us a lot of trouble is that Cal United team that seems to be they're clicking right now, and we'll have to see if that form stays with them throughout the rest of the season.
No, they're definitely, I mean, their record speaks for itself. I mean, they're 10 points clear of everybody else in the league. I think if you look at that roster, you'll find a lot more roster consistency there than we had. You can see that we're starting to gel, even in the draw against the Stars. Like, we played well, we played cohesive. We maintained our same style of play, regardless. So, and we created chances, like you said. So I'm not worried for that perspective. And I think we're just going to get better and better. You just keep feeding the goal machine that is Marcus Nagelstad. And I think we're going to be fine. Hey, apparently we were not overstating the importance of getting a goal scorer, in the preseason. We were getting late. We really hadn't signed like an out and out number nine.
Yeah.
And we were, we were all getting a little nervous, and obviously Marcus is repaying mm-hmm. our faith in him. Yeah. Man, he's just been a machine.
My only concern is, players, there are ebbs and flows in a season, and we're not halfway. We're not at the halfway point yet. So we've got a long way to go. And so there's always ebbs and flows. There's going to have to be at some point this season, there's going to have to be somebody else that picks up that mantle and scores the goals. And it may be a combination. It may be a little bit of Brett, a little bit of Ian from the midfield, a little bit of, somebody else. What's our other forward's name?
No, 100%.
A little bit of Jones.
So Taylor, I mean, but
Taylor's yeah, Taylor Gray, to, that's who I was trying to
Yeah, Taylor's trying to pick up a little bit of the slack, and you're right. I expect more goals from that midfield. I'll be honest with you. The midfield has not take Taylor out of it, and the midfield hasn't generated the goals that I thought they would, to be honest. And maybe that was never the intention, never going to happen, but I really thought that midfield would generate more goals once again. Take Taylor out of the equation and his, couple of games where he just decided to tear the back of the net out. I just expect you to generate more goals. And I tweeted about it, a couple of weeks ago. Like, I'm still surprised that we don't have more chances, you know, from the D, from the top of the box, you know, kind of that area. We're still, you know, it still looks a little bit similar to like bringing the ball down the right or left and playing the ball to the middle. It still looks a lot like that. It looks a little bit different on how it gets there. Don't get me wrong, but that still seems to be the recipe. And I guess it's one of those things that kind of, given the fact that we do have the technical ability to pass the ball around the middle of the field, it surprises me that we don't try to go down the middle more often. And then once we get to, you know, kind of like the roadblock, then push it outside. I feel like, I mean, it's worked so far. Don't get me wrong. I'm just, it seems like there, we could be expanding our attack just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, again, Brett Jones, I think at some point we're going to need something from Brett. We're going to need something from Taylor. We're going to need Luke.
We're going to need something from,
Luke, yeah, and Roddy absolutely. to get on the score, you know, score sheet. You know, I just think
there's firepower sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, it's there.
Yeah.
So,
and we definitely need to see, you know, Alex, you know, McGrath has shown, you know, that he can score. You know, we know Ian can score. So I think we do need a couple of goals. We are going to need some goals from the midfield at some point. And what you're trying to say is zone 14.
I won't say it. I'm not going to say it.
We need more shots from zone 14.
No, we do. You know what? You're right. That's exactly what we need. Because when you start showing that you're gonna take shots from that area, like, you loosen up the defense, you give them something else to think about, another concern, and they can't overplay you on the outside. So, yeah. You know, I would like to see that.
Yeah. And man, maybe we'll see it this Saturday again. This Saturday we go again at Findlay, July 2nd against AC Syracuse, right? Is that who we're playing? That's right. Or whatever they're called now. They're called just Syracuse Pulse. That's their name, right? I don't know. They have AC Syracuse still on their logo, I think. But whatever. They're Syracuse Pulse. They're
actively Googling how to change.
They're watching
YouTube. change their crest on their
they're watching website, YouTube videos so. On how to use Illustrator and Photoshop right now to figure that out.
And let's talk about this. You know, the crowds have been really good, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
we've been bumping 3,000 for weeks now. I don't know, I think I forget what game it was. We were 23 short of 3,000. And I'm like, can you not just go across the street to Southside Social and CBC and like drag some people out, do something? Like, I just feel like it's this glass ceiling that we need to break through to kind of move on. And I'm hoping this weekend, given the fact it is a holiday weekend, maybe we'll get some, actually it looks more like traditional CFC weather, chance of thunderstorms, but I would love to see us break through that 3,000 ceiling. I think it's I don't know. I think it would add to the momentum. There's great soccer being played. You know, you take the Stars game out of it. We're scoring goals. I think we're going to see goals Saturday night. And it's entertaining stuff. The way we're playing is entertaining. We're keeping the ball. Like, we're pressuring teams. So, yeah. And there's some real quality out there on the field. So, and it's being reflected in the stands. So I think it's time to kind of press through 3,000 and start eyeballing the next high water mark of 3,500.
That's right. Yeah. We need to do that. So wait.
So I'm saying this because, like, go get somebody and drag them to a game, pay for their ticket. It's going to cost you $15. Take some of those tickets that you've banked because you had to miss, and get your crew together, and let's get people out there, and let's bring those bodies. I hate to say it's like a high attendance Saturday, if you will. But yeah, man, I'm serious.
I wish we had fireworks. You know, I missed the fireworks game. Or I mean, I was at the game, but I had to leave, so I didn't get to see the fireworks. I wish we were having fireworks on Independence Day weekend.
I'm torn on fireworks. I like fireworks. Most people like fireworks, but at the same time, I know it scares the dogs, and we know I'm a dog person, so I'm torn.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there aren't dogs in the stadium.
No, but there's dogs like over there at like the apartment complexes and stuff.
Yeah, I know, but I like fireworks. I didn't get to see them.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm sorry, dogs, and I'm sorry, dog owners. But I wish we could have some fireworks.
When are we bringing the dogs from? Why haven't we done that yet? Bring the dogs from McCamey.
Yeah, we need like a pups at Finley night. That would be nice. That would be cool. I might bring Luna. I got her a bandana. I got her a CFC bandana, so she'll be, and a CFC collar and a CFC leash.
Shout out to the CFC merch booth.
That's right. I mean, all the new stuff.
They have dog items. Oh
yeah. Pets. They're pet items. Merch
booth. The merch booth is on fire right now with everything. And I'll tell you, if you can't find a jersey this year from either the CFC men's like home away, the women's jersey, the women's warm up jersey, the stronger jersey, if you will,
the pride jersey.
The pride jersey is amazing. If you don't like any of those, then go over to the OGA website and get yourself an OGA jersey.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I can't wait for that OGA. Here's the pride.
Okay, everybody. Once again, Jim's holding his pride jersey up like you can all see it.
I'm showing it up for all of our YouTube watchers, which there are of whom there are none.
He's basically holding it up for me because I didn't know what it looked like.
Did you get it?
But yeah, there are some amazing jerseys out there. So go get out there and get yourself something.
Yeah.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself. That's right. We got at least four new scarves. I'm showing Todd all four of them right now for our watchers on YouTube of whom there are none. So we've got men's and women's scarves.
And Saturday night, this coming Saturday night, those pride socks are mine.
Oh yeah. These? Yep. Are you talking about these pride socks?
Oh.
Are you talking about these pride socks? Again, for our YouTube. All of our YouTube followers, you can see those.
Jim, I don't want to see your white tube socks.
These are not white tube socks.
They don't know that.
I know they don't. They don't. So it's been great. And I think there's more. I think David said there's more stuff coming. I don't know what else.
Oh, and I finally broke down. I got my sky blue Hummel shoes.
You did?
Yeah, oh yeah, I did.
Nice.
And I wear them everywhere. Those things, oh dude, I love them.
You like them? So you got the sky blue with the white chevrons?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, we match. Isn't that cute?
Twinkies.
We can then put our shoes on, then our pride socks, and we can match shirts and
I like it.
Yeah, it'll be great. Be great. So
guys, the bottom line is get out to the game. Seek us out if you see us. Don't be afraid to talk to us. I don't know why you would be afraid to talk to us, but you talk to us. Love interaction, love talking about the show with people. I was talking to Dana and Galen, and you know, there's always criticism around anything that's going on, right? Nothing's perfect. There's just nothing is perfect out there. But I tell you, I've never felt better about the trajectory of the club than mm-hmm. I do at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. I look at the quality of the soccer and how well it's being supported on the men's side. I look at the women's side and I looked at the fact that we're there and I look at the support they're getting in the stands and I'm looking at the future and I'm excited about that. I look over, I look at the stadium. I'm excited about the stadium because I can see they're actively trying to do things to make the situation, better, the game in-game situation better, coming up with some creative ideas. And I'm excited about getting a new stadium director and what that means. The one criticism I have is no taco truck. Now that's a totally different conversation.
Why did you have to bring that up? Totally
different conversation. I know. Believe me when I tell you this, listeners, faithful listeners of the 423 Soccer Pod, I am actively trying to recruit a taco truck vendor because I know the level of importance that it is at a soccer game. So stay with us. Things are moving, but we're trying.
Do they have manganatas? Yes. Oh my Lord. Yes. Okay. So I'm all in.
And then looking at the other aspects of the club, you know, I look at OGA and I look at how they're reaching out into the communities, both underserved communities, both in the city and in more rural areas. That is absolutely amazing. And then look at the CFC Foundation, which, by the way, how have we not talked about the fact that a U.S. Nationals player was at the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A men's player and a women's player.
Who was the men? Oh, it was. It was Walker Zimmerman.
Yeah, Zimmerman. Right? And then O'Hara. Was it O'Hara?
Yes.
Yeah, Kelly O'Hara. Yeah. Was cool. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, so how did that get past us?
I don't know. I mean, nobody told us. The club hates us. They don't tell us anything.
Well, it was.
They don't really, want. Really they don't cool want us around.
That kind of relationship. And then once again, the relationship that we have, say we, that the city has cultivated. You know what? We can. Here's the difference. We can say we because we are invested in this club. You, me, and the 3,800 and however many other owners, right? But the relationship that's been cultivated between Volkswagen and the club, CFC and Wolfsburg, both from Chattanooga and the town of Wolfsburg itself, it really is a very, very cool and very unique thing that exists in soccer. So and we're able to reap the benefits of that. So many cool things going on right now.
Yep. And one thing that is just ending as we record, I think maybe you can still donate. If you're listening to this, hopefully I've gotten this out on July 1. I think the Chattahooligan Pride Raiser ends on July 1st. So I believe that means you have until midnight or 11:59 on July 1st to either adjust your pledge now that you know how many goals that we've scored, or make a pledge if you haven't done so already. Right now, you guys have raised about $8,788 for UTC Spectrum. That's amazing. I talked with some of the folks today, and they're just beside themselves. They're very excited about it. So you've got a little bit of time to still either adjust your pledge now that you know that it's we scored 10 goals this month. So it makes math easy. You don't have to worry about that. So you
it does stink that it doesn't go to January or July 2nd.
No, it's May 15th to July 1st. So I know,
but I really wish it was the 2nd.
You wish it was for the game?
Yes, exactly.
That's true. That would have been nice.
Sometimes when you're planning things, you need to look at the calendar and be like, okay, when does the last day fall on a Friday? Well, we need to push it one day,
especially with a home game.
Games will be played. But anyway, but you know what? If you want to, there's nothing that stops you from matching those pledges and kicking in a little extra for the goals that we score Saturday night.
That's Pride true.
Razor is on fire. And if you don't see the value of supporting an organization like that at this, given everything that's going on in the past, year or so, I can't even imagine, an organization like Spectrum, having, 9 or 10 grand dumped in their lap. What an amazing position they're being to be able to receive these kind of funds and know that their future is secure and the things that they're going to be able to do with that money.
Yep. Yeah, it's great. So again, if you can, consider giving a little bit, I would love to get that over 9,000 right now. We just need $22.18 more pledged to get it to 9,000. So that'd be great. I don't know. Tyler, I don't know if there's anything else. I think it's two. I think today's the last day. So if you're listening to this, you have.
Oh yes, Friday. This is going to come out on Friday. Huh? And my apologies to Coach Douglas for us not putting out a podcast, because I found out today that he actually likes to listen to podcasts when he is making his way from his home down in West Point, Georgia, up to his CFC home, his temporary home. So he likes to listen to podcasts.
What's he listen to?
He listens to us, which is why he was wondering. Yes,
what's going on?
He goes, he said, did I miss something? I haven't heard a podcast. There hasn't been a podcast.
Oh, we've disappointed the coach. That's not good.
No, it's not. It's a bad look from us.
Yeah,
so,
that's not good at
our
all.
Our bad.
Because all he's had to listen to are those 109 guys.
I know. Well, I know. So,
but I got to say, hey, you know, I don't know if you've been listening to them, but they put out some quality stuff. So I said that we don't need to go back and rehash those individual matches. If you want to rehash them, they've done a good job of doing some kind of match reviews. So you can go back and listen to their thoughts about those. Anything else for us tonight, Todd, that you can think of?
No, I think we've covered everything.
Yeah, we've covered everything. All right.
Well, everything that we remember, you know, we've covered everything on our agenda.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, since the adults aren't here, we have no agenda. And so I am sure that as soon as we stop recording, we're going to remember something that we wanted to talk about. But I right now just can't think of anything else. So why don't we just let these people go and they can go about their Friday or Saturday or whenever they're listening to this. Hopefully they're listening to it before the game so that they can hear us say, get your butts and your friends' butts to Finley Stadium Saturday night. Let's get over 3,000 people in the stands and cheer on, hopefully, a nice victory for the Blues. So with that said, Todd, let's let them have the rest of their day back. And we'll see you tomorrow. Excuse me, not tomorrow. We'll see you Saturday at Finley to watch CFC play Syracuse Pulse. And until then, go CFC.
Go Blues. Off the outside of the crossbar. Oh, Mr. Oliveira, what a cheeky goal.